Call the order of the, call order the West Lafayette Community School Corporation's regular meeting, Board of School Trustees. Today being Monday, October 4th, which is revised agenda, which hopefully if you have questions on that, you. Need approval of the agenda for tonight's meeting.
Second.
Moved by Amy Hoffman, seconded by Brad Marley. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. So approval is a minute for September 7th, 2021, regular meeting of the Board of School Trustees.
Move approval.
Moved by Dr. Strong.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Shaw. Any discussion or any? All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Communication from the audience, because we've had anybody sign up for agenda items. And unfinished business, I have none, and we'll start, we'll go to Red Devil Pride Way to Go Award, and Shelby, the floor is yours.
This time, we'd like to recognize our Westside Way to Go Award recipients. This award was created to recognize students who have exemplified good citizenship qualities that are basic to our school district's mission. So administrators and teachers vote and select students, and there's two students each month selected for each school. So at this time, Dr. Taggart will come up and introduce.
Okay, this is one of my favorite things to do. So this, I get to celebrate two of our students, and I want Phoebe to come up here first. Phoebe, this is what comments I have from our staff. Phoebe is the dictionary definition of kindness. She works so hard to be a good friend every single day. Miss Webb always finds her on the playground, checking on her friends if they get hurt, pushing others on the swing, or even helping them solve problems with other peers. In the classroom, she works hard and does her best on her very own. But she really shines because of how much she does for others each day. We are all so proud of her caring, serving heart. Phoebe Justin Russia. Let's celebrate her. All right, I need Miss Isabel to come up here. Isabel is such a kind, helpful, thoughtful, and caring student. Mrs. Wayman can always count on her to be doing the right thing and setting a great example for her peers. We all very much agree that she is very deserving of this award, and we appreciate all she does at West Lafayette Elementary School. Let's celebrate Isabel.
Dr. Taggart, really, you're this tall? I had to bring that down a notch. I'm a little shorter, I think. I am Margaret Saras, the principal here at West Lafayette Intermediate School, and I'm here to celebrate as well today with a couple of our wonderful students. Max Rodriguez, would you come up, please?
Thank you, sir.
give you this while I talk about you. How's that going? Max is extremely bright. He pushes himself academically, is kind and patient with others, polite and respectful to adults, responsible and always getting his work done. He is just always doing the right thing, even when no one is watching. He has been quietly leading the way for his peers through his first few weeks of school and stands out as an exceptional kid. Congratulations, Max. We're proud of you. And Elise Blau, please come up. Elise is a very compassionate individual that is making a mark in our world. She's a published author of Danger Zone and has another book in the making. She was a guest speaker for an organization called She Is the Universe, a community for girls advocating global issues. She is an activist and founder of the local project for Kids Against Climate Change. She was invited to the 2021 Global Leadership Summit and also the 2021 Girls Leaders Summit. She interviewed many inspiring and famous people on her podcast and was interviewed on episode 4 of the podcast Meet Her. You have accomplished a lot, my friend. Congratulations to both of these wonderful students.
Hello, I'm Ron Schreiner, and we have a couple of folks to recognize from the junior-senior high school tonight. And the first is Max Hook, who's a freshman who's not able to be here tonight because he's participating in soccer sectional. But I want to share some comments that one of his teachers made about Max, and we have a certificate. I don't know if mom's here or not. What stands out, and I'll come on up and you can represent Max. I have to give you a certificate. What stands out to this teacher most about Max is that he consistently encourages his classmates during class, whether it's about the soccer game they played the night before, about something they answered correctly in the lecture, or simply about anything good that day. Max is very positive and is also very helpful in the classroom. He often volunteers to help and isn't intimidated by what others think. He is responsible, mature, and humble. Max carries a positive attitude with him and is an overall pleasure to have in class. We'll be sure to thank Max tomorrow when we see him. And now Emma. Emma is here. Emma, if you come up. Emma Payton is at the way the other end of the spectrum. Look what happened. Just from a few minutes ago. We're skirting right through as a senior. Unbelievably. And the comments from Emma's teachers are that she makes sure to include everyone in the class. And Dr. McKee has a student who happens to be autistic in the class. And Emma chose to sit next to that student and make sure to talk to the student and include them in her conversations. She keeps calm, helps keep the student calm when they get anxious as well. And she really appreciates the extra effort in class to make the student feel included at all times. So for that and many other reasons, Emma, we really appreciate you. Thank you. This is a major award.
Do you want to excuse them?
You can excuse them.
Yeah,
you are welcome
to stay for the rest of the meeting,
but I totally understand.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. On today's budget adoption, we're actually going to ask approval for five different resolutions. The first four have been a standard part of the budgeting process in the past. The fifth is a new resolution in response to a new state law. So the first resolution is for the appropriation and tax rates. As advertised, the budgets are for the Education Fund, $21,450,000. The Referendum Fund, $7 million. The Debt Service Fund, $6,582,514. The Operations Fund, $8,331,185. And the Rainy Day Fund, $1,375,000, for total budgets of $44,738,699. The second resolution is for the 2022 through 2026 bus replacement plans as advertised. So we would ask your consideration for these first two.
So this budget doesn't include the ESER, the CARE fund, right? It's just the regular.
Correct. These are the tax funds and the education fund.
Thank you.
Aye.
So the next resolution allows the superintendent or the designee to reduce 21 and 22 appropriations and to make adjustments to miscellaneous revenue for 2021 and 2022 on the appropriate gateway forms where needed. Again, this is a standard part of the budgeting process.
Motion, please.
Second.
Aye. The fourth resolution authorizes a transfer between funds, such as between the referendum, education operations, and rainy day funds, as the budget and circumstances dictate. For example, we have budgeted transfers from the referendum to the education and operations fund. That's already part of the budget, but the DLGF requires a resolution to that effect as well. So we ask your consideration for the resolution. So the final resolution related to the budget is new this year as a result of a new state law, which is Senate Enrolled Act 55. In the budgeting of their interest from the debt service fund in the year preceding the year of issuance. In the event that tax anticipation warrants would become necessary due to unforeseen circumstances in 2022, this resolution will allow the school board to issue the warrants if needed, and for the budget to reflect this contingency. This is the first year that the state legislature has required this. It doesn't mean that we would issue the warrants, but if we don't have the resolution, if we don't have tax collection for one reason or another, like a pandemic and a delay in tax collection, we would need this resolution in order to then go ahead and issue tax anticipation warrants next year. So we ask your consideration for the resolution.
Okay, yeah, thanks, Alan. At the last meeting, when we had the budget hearing and some other things, we said we would review an update on our construction projects, you know, the financing involved and so on, try to and answer some questions that were brought up from a patron at the last meeting. Part of this, I'd like Tim Slaughter, who's our project manager at the junior senior high school projects, just to give us a brief update. I mean, we're kind of heading down the last road here to finish these projects. So Tim, if you come up and give us an update, please.
Good evening, everyone. I've been asked to give you some updates about the projects at the junior senior high school. And Ross has asked me to try and keep my remarks under 75 minutes. So I think I'll be easily able to comply with that. Probably the best news that I can give you is that this is month 44 of the construction projects and the four different phases at the junior senior high school. And as of tonight, we have only 2 months more before we're completed and all four phases are done. So that's a very positive thing. Everything has taken a little longer than maybe we anticipated when this was first conceived some years ago, but for whatever reason, materials, lack of workers, problems with supply, we're getting to the finish line. I didn't know if you really needed any information about the pool, which is the LGI, which would have been phase one of the project, since that's been in use now for a couple years, as well as the dining court, food court area, which was actually phase two of the project, which again, those have been in use now for about a year and a half. I'll concentrate my remarks on phase three, which is the James R. Guy Academic Wing, and phase four, which is the Bob Kelly Performing Arts Center, and give you a few updates on this. And then if you have any questions after I'm done, I'd be happy to try and answer those for you. For the Guy Wing, that entire project rolled out in different phases because we were moving a library from a second floor down to a first floor. In order to do that, we had to prepare the first floor area for that setting. So the very first phase of that was to complete that, get the ground ready for the additional building onto the east side of the school building, which meant taking out the lecture rooms, so on and so forth, and then building up from there. So in the first phase of that particular part of the project, that part of the building was extended, and science labs and some English classrooms were built onto the top of the library in the lecture stairs on the east side of the building, while at the same time we renovated some other older science labs to bring those not only larger but more modernized and just a better setting in general. So once the new library was in place, then the old library could be taken out of that space, pared down, and moved into the new first floor spot. That old library footprint then was taken out, and seven classrooms were created on that footprint. As of today, all seven of those spaces are in some sort of use. There are one or two of those that one in particular that was turned into a storage facility for our custodians and our technology crew because they badly needed another space to be able to put some of their things. It has not hampered any of the classes. Class sizes are very comfortably set in each of those spaces without any types of problems. So those seven spots, along with a technology suite on that same second floor, are up and running and doing very well. Now we go down to the first floor with the library. The library and technology lab, which is adjacent to the library, have been in use now for a little over, well, I guess since the start of the second semester of last school year. The lecture stairs, which are on the far east side, the nice lecture space behind the glass windows is maybe one of the most popular places in the school right now. Every day there are kids there before the start of the school day. It's utilized during lunch. It's oftentimes utilized after school. It's not only a great lecture space for a class, for just a different type of environment or setting, but it's also a nice little place for clubs if they want to use that. That space is almost entirely completed with the exception of one glass panel that has to be put in place on the outside edge of the handrail. Going back up to the second floor, the other part of that component was the creation of a new entrance on the northeast side of the building off of Leslie Avenue. That also has been in use since the start of the second semester. And it just makes things move so much smoother and more cleanly. There's no log jam at the bottom of the stairs. If you're familiar with the school, you know what kind of a problem there was at the bottom of the first floor with students having to wait to let other students pass in front of them during the passing period. So this is a much cleaner, safer environment. Moving to the last phase, which is the Bob Kelly Performing Arts Center. That facility is also about 98% completed and is in use on a daily basis by members of our music department. The one remaining thing that needs to be done is the finishing of the graphics that go on the back of the auditorium on the wall where the sound booth is. They're actually working on those now, so we anticipate that they'll be finished with those here in the next week or 10 days. The practice spaces that have been created for the music department are wonderful. There's great technology available for them. I don't know if any of you have gone to any of the concerts in the last couple of Sundays, but the space in the auditorium itself is just so much more appealing. The lighting is better, the sound is better, the acoustics are better. It's just a better look, not to mention that we have some really nice chairs. So that whole environment has improved dramatically. The last piece to the puzzle, which is the reason why we will not be finished until December, is some delays that are taking place with the completion of the northwest set of stairs off of Leslie Avenue. The structure has been built, the steel is in place, the masonry is starting to come in. But again, because of various problems, one of them being that it's such a confined space that it's hard to get two different sets of workers working at the same time. That whole process has been slowed down. So I've been told that we'll have it by the time the first semester is completed, so that when we come back for the start of the school year in January, we'll have both sets of stairs up and running.
Just a couple things. One, I know that the grand opening or the ceremonial has been postponed due to COVID and other reasons, but those will hopefully take place maybe in spring.
The last information I received was that because of COVID and a few issues with the Kelly family being able to arrive, that was going to be moved back to the spring. I believe James R. Guy is in that same situation.
I've had received questions about the air, what's happened with air quality and what circulation looks like in the new construction. I know that there's been some work done. I've seen it come through on payables. What's your sense about our air quality in the newly constructed parts of the building?
On the second floor?
People are concerned, not with construction, with COVID, with how well the air is circulated in those areas. Is there...
I haven't heard of any issues, and no one's contacting me about anything. And normally Ron's very good about passing on any concerns from the staff. So if there is anything of that nature, Rachel, I haven't heard of that.
Okay, thanks.
Kind of unrelated, but I was in the high school over the weekend just for a short time. Maybe it's been there for a long time. Have you ever put the slant of the thing to the lockers? Great, the books aren't stacked up all the place.
Yes.
It looks much cleaner, so kudos for that.
Yeah.
Just the overall building, I thought, looked really clean. I was really impressed with being back to full capacity. So pass that on to whomever, but it just looked really clean and fresh.
Be happy to do that. Thank you.
Hey, Tim, one thing, because later on the board agenda, we have an MOU with Kettle Hut on some repair for that pool drain line. Do you want to just maybe elaborate a little bit what that's about?
That's item five, go ahead.
We've had a little issue with the pool. We've had more than a few issues with the pool, but Kettle Hut and KJD have been very good about making sure that those are taken care of for us at no cost to us. And in taking care of the problem that we had with the slope of the tile and some problems with ponding of water on the pool deck, when the old tile was taken off and a new slope was put in, was created, which had a little more of a draw to it. The company doing the tiling punctured the drainage pipe, which services the guttering, so that any of the water that goes in the gutter of the pool is taken out in a drain pipe and then taken to a large surge tank. And the company punctured that drain pipe in three different places, completely through top and bottom. Our aquatics director had not noticed anything for a couple of weeks after that, and then when she got to the surge tank, she noticed that there was quite a bit of some type of material floating on top. And she didn't know at that point if it was organic or non-organic, so she had it tested. And one of the ways that she tested it was just to see if it was flammable, and it was flammable. So that told us that it was probably something to do with the insulation that was installed when the new tile was put in. So Kettle Hut has taken full responsibility for this. At their cost, they are bringing a plumbing company in, which will drain the pipe, dry the pipe out, and then there is an epoxy that is dragged through the pipe by a process that completely coats the inside of the pipe. And then after 5 years, to ensure that it is still working properly and there isn't any water loss or any problems with the surge tank, Kettle Hut is going to have that company come back, drain the pipe again. They have a camera that they take down the pipe to check the pipe out completely and make sure that there are no problems with it. So they're very confident that it's a patented process, whatever it is that they're using, patented process that they're using, that they use for city water lines. So they're very comfortable and confident that it'll do its job. And that'll be, Ross, that'll be at the start of November.
Thank you, Tim.
Thanks very much.
All right, we'll move now to
No, hey, Alan. I want to finish my little talk with. We have kind of want to run through some of the financials on the construction. We have some hard copies if somebody wants copies of the PowerPoint. You're welcome. Steve will bring that out. But, you know, we're at a point where we're, you know, wrapping up things with construction and the bonds, and we need to take a look at that, kind of see how we've used the funds, our source of funds, and see how we've used the funds. So, like a source and use discussion here on these bond funds. So, and you have the PowerPoint, or you can look, I gave you a hard copy, and you had it uploaded too, but, you know, basically, you know, we had a series of four bonds that were sold. So we had a 17 bond, and you can see the description of the primary purpose of each bond. Now, in some cases, there's intermingling of, you know, when you look at expenses, they may, you know, like some of the pool expense kind of overlap maybe into some of the renovation, because some of these things kind of combine together. So you may see that in some of the slides. So we had four bonds, and you know, you sort of know the purpose of them. A summary of source and use of funds, and keep in mind these numbers now are through the end of August, and the reason through the end of August, because when we get the bank statements from the trustee bank, it's usually several days or a week after the end of the month. So, you know, we'll get to September information here in another week or so, you know, and update our numbers. But So basically, if you look at the bonds, you had four bonds, the bond issues of each one, you see are noted, you know, for a total of $83,900,000. We had bond premiums that totaled $11,299,000. We sold bonds, and we'll get into this a little bit later, but the premium bonds were sold because of unknown costs. You know, you need to have your bond sold before you take bids, because, you know, bidder's not going to give you a bid if you don't have the funds. And with cost escalating and unknown contingencies, our bond counsel recommend and financial advisors recommend we consider premium bonds that would raise additional funds, which is above the bond par itself. Underwriter's discount then comes out of that. You have earned interest then over time, because these bonds have been invested during the term and still have funds invested for $1.6 million. So you can see we had total source of funds around $96 million. Use of funds through the end of August by fund is around $85 million. And then we still have pay applications coming in. As Tim discussed, we have some projects still to complete to deduct off of that. So as we finish out, this is projected now, that we'd have around $6.5 million of bond funds left over, or surplus bond funds. These bonds that were sold, there's kind of a summary of the bonds themselves and the sale dates. If they were a negotiated sale or competitive bid, we were told by Baker Tilly that probably 90% of their bonds in the last few years were premium bonds, you know, which are more attractive in a lower bond rate market. You can see the true interest cost that we had on these bonds and the premiums that were generated. And then the other important factor here is the call date on each of this bond series. And you can see typically that's a 10-year call date from the date of issuance of the bond. So July of 2027 on the 17 bond, the older bond, would be the earliest call date. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. The next few slides, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on here, but this, it gives more detail of how each bond was spent. It gives the source of the funds for that bond. You know, it shows the use of funds such as issuing expense, bond interest expense, professional fees, so on, and then some of the projects that were completed. And you scroll down to the bottom, and then you can see, like in the 17 bond, around $3.5 million that is not allocated or spent at this time. So I have that summary, not to go in a lot of, you know, bore you with all the numbers you have there in front of you, but you got the 18 bond summary, and that primarily was the pool. The 19 bond and the 20 bond were the education wing and performing arts primarily. There's some other related projects included. And As Tim mentioned, these two projects are winding down. We'll have a better handle on what we have here in another couple months once we actually get to completion. This construction project summary shows you at the top some of the estimated project costs that we were looking at as we were going through the bonding process. And then the bottom is a summary of payments to date. Now, remember, this is payments through the end of August, and there's more cost that will be incurred after that, but that's through the end of August. That number down there, the 80 million on the bottom right corner, does not include the issuance expense or any capitalized interest expense. Those expenses were about another 5 million. Then roughly we have another 5 million of expenses yet to incur. So it brings us to this. And if you go back, let me back up to this slide here. That number down to bottom right hand corner, we have around $6.5 million of surplus bond funds. So now we need to consider what are options for these funds, what can be done. And Bob, chime in here if I say something or you want to add to it, or Steve. But, you know, per statute, bond surplus funds must be used toward debt reduction unless there's a related construction need that is tied or related back to the original purpose stated in the 1028 hearing. So that, keep that in mind. So options for these surplus funds would be consider other additional related improvements needed that qualify. In other words, let's say to junior senior high school, we typically pay improvements without, if we don't have bonds, we pay it now out of the operations fund. So in a year or so, we anticipated we'll need a new roof, about $300,000. There's some other building control cost in Cumberland and the high school that would be considerable expense. Now that they've changed some things in the high school room numbers and things, we need to upgrade a fire panel that identifies the correct rooms. But this, if you spend on these projects, it has to be related back to the original, these purpose. I mean, we just can't go out and say, well, now we're going to build a bus garage. I mean, you can't do that. I mean, we didn't talk about that in the 1028 hearings. Okay, so that would be a consideration. The other consideration is additional revenue for debt service for lease rental payments. Now, when we started down this path back did the 17 bond, 18 bond, 19 bond, if we sold the 19 bond, we could foresee about that 3 million range number left over in the 17 bond. And when we issued the 20 bond, their bonds were not issued to for the purpose of surplus funds to pay debt. That was not done. We did realize, however, when we sold the 20 bond, this was, you know, we were to, you know, get stretching ourselves to keep the tax rate level, and we're able to offset the increased tax rate if we use surplus funds from the 17 bond, which falls in line with the statute that says you got to use surplus funds to pay towards debt. So that number two is sort of what I'm talking about here. You could take this, you know, you could say, well, we're not going to make construction projects, but we're going to use this $6 million and we'll just use it over time to pay towards our debt payments. Now, another thing we got to think about, our bond council told us the other day, well, and we have donated funds too. You know, we've talked about that. And they said, well, you really, the bond council, and Bob, tell me if I misspeak here, but said we should really use the donated funds first, which in our planning, we talked about using the debt funds. No, well, last time I talked to you said use the donated funds first, which was confusing. So, I mean, we may need to clarify that.
Yeah.
But either way, we got to use the debt surplus money towards debt reduction. So now, right, in that range, yeah. So then, so what about refunding the bonds? Why not take that money, pay the bonds off, and refinance the bonds? So the bonds don't have a call date until 10 years. You're unable to pay principal down on the bond, like if you had, you know, a house mortgage and you got $10,000, let's pay down the principal, maybe re-amortize the balance and move on, you know, get a new rate and so on. That's not possible, as we're told by bond counsel, on these tax exempt bonds. There is another funding source to do this called defeasance. And you could, as I understand, you can do this before the call date. And it's another way, method, where really you, if the rate is attractive enough, you can issue new bonds at a lower rate to give you a savings on your payment. Your payment would pay into the defeasance bonds, which go into an escrow account that's backed by treasuries. And then that account would make the bond payments until the call date. Now, I think Bob has studied this a little bit more than I have. Is that, do you have any more to add to that?
Well, it's... There will come a certain point in time where the amount of our annual bond payments are to a point where we could have savings in annual bond payments. If we were to go out and borrow money on a taxable basis, we take that money and we buy U.S. Treasuries, and those U.S. Treasuries back up the bonds that are outstanding. The bonds that are outstanding can't be prepaid until their call date. And that is a number that is, it's a mathematic calculation, and right now we're looking at 25 or 26, maybe 27 before that becomes feasible. And it's significant. It's done very frequently. It doesn't require that you have to go through the whole bond process again. You just need to adopt a resolution that you're basically refinancing. But it's not like refinancing your car or your house, okay? That's the best way I can describe it. And we've been told there's a good chance Congress will amend the law and make that rate tax exempt. But we don't know what's going to happen. So it's kind of a moving target somewhere in the 24 to 27 range. This is something we might consider, and he's got a slide that's coming up that'll go into that in some detail.
So they did a calculation of refunding savings, you know, the issuance year of the bonds and how much the savings would be, you know, if you do this process before the 10-year call date. And that gives you an idea of the saving. You can see we're a few years away on the 17 bond to make it practical or financially practical to do. The next slide shows, you know, what net present value savings could be on going through this process. So, I mean, these are things down the road that we need to be looking at. Now, I don't know. I understand bond rates may be going up a little bit now. I'm not sure. But, you know, that we need to have the rates in a favorable position in order to make this process work. So how do you summarize this? We know there's going to be some surplus bond funds. Statute requires them to be used towards debt unless there's other related projects. You know, possible, consider this process in the future, depending on the rate structure that would make it beneficial to do this defeasance process. And keep in mind, I think we talked before, you know, as we look at our debt, we plan on using around the $3 million, some of these surplus funds to offset the debt rate or to keep the debt rate level. I mean, that if you did that, you're going to use up, you know, about $3 million of that. Now, the other consideration is when I think we talked about this last meeting or the budget here or budget workshop, if this circuit breaker waiver ends, you know, that then we're going to have, and the AV continues to go up, you're going to have sufficient funds in the debt levy to cover the debt payments, and even the debt rate could go down. So we got a lot of moving targets here, moving factors, and this is going to be a project, you know, for the next several years for somebody to manage, you know, to keep, to be efficient use of these funds and to, you know, generate the best savings that we can do. So anyhow, that just kind of wanted to give you a summary of where we're at since we're headed towards the end of the project season and getting these things done. And, you know, there isn't any action or anything to do tonight. It's just information, and we'll just keep you updated as things move along.
Thank you. Appreciate that very much. I know a lot of effort went into that. Okay, we'll move now to West Lafayette Community School Corporation updates, and Mike, the floor is yours.
Yes, I have two areas that I just want to simply update. And number one is we are close to certifying our ADM count for the 2021 dollars that would be available from the state. And right now, as of today, our ADM count as of September 17th. Was 2,253. In 2020, the ADM count that was submitted to the state was 2,258. So we have five less students on the books right now for that. And if you go to 2019, there were 22,342. So we have 89 less students on the ABM count in 2021 than we did in 2019. And that is probably worth some discussion among the board and the staff in the following months, and how you might want to look at that, and what are the consequences, and what are the possible solutions. But that's just data. The second thing that I want to address is the situation that we're continuously having, and we're all ready for it to go away, but that is COVID. I have had communications with both Chet and Anne Marie, our two corporation doctors, and we get regular reports. Fortunate, our numbers right now are minimal, and we want to give compliments to the staff and the families that is happening within the West Lafayette schools. And I talk to folks consistently, and I admire the foresight and listening to the advice of our doctors and where the West Lafayette schools are in that situation. Throughout the adoption of our reopening plans, we had talked about this, but I want to make it official that this is happening. We have talked, and the recommendations came from our two doctors, and the recommendation comes from the Indiana Department of Health, and I just want this to be part of the record, is that the West Lafayette schools will maintain the practice of accepting only results from tests administered at doctor's offices or clinics. We've had some interest in possibly with the development of home COVID test, but at this time, again, from talking with our two doctors, we will maintain the practice of accepting only results from the test and the recommendations from the Indiana Department of Health is where that comes from. I've been able, again, I was in communications with our two doctors, and I just want to share a few things that they have said, and this is one of the comments. There is still no doubt that increasing the percentage of fully vaccinated population leads to less hospitalizations and less deaths as a result of this COVID. Both of the doctors did report this, that the FDA will be holding meetings to review the use of Pfizer for the ages of 5 through 11, and they are anticipating the hearing is set for October 26th. That is a good sign, as hopefully we're able to turn the corner and go from that way. The last thing I want to talk about as far as COVID, which I think is an interesting conversation, is in the last month and a half, we have had two executive orders from the governor of Indiana, and at our last meeting, we adopted that executive order from the governor, and we received another executive order last week, basically saying the first executive order said that executive order would expire September 30th. The second executive order that we received last week basically says that same executive order has been extended to October 31st. So we might anticipate what's coming in the next one. The one thing that we are dealing with, and you guys are listening to this from the national level, is the possibility of mandated vaccines for all organizations of 100 or more. Indiana does qualify to be under that mandate because of the OSHA laws that we have in the state of Indiana. However, federal mandates have not been finalized. We are considering with our staff and medical professions how to implement rules that may be finally determined. And we have shared that with the administration and teacher leaders. And again, we are in contact with both of our doctors, but we have not taken any action upon that. And we will continue to monitor what the federal mandates have been. Again, they have not been finalized. But I just wanted to share that as a point of information.
Okay, thank you. Yep. Appreciate it very much. Move down to superintendent search update. Karen, I'll move to you on that.
The board has interviewed 7 candidates in the first round interviews and are now setting up second round interviews. We're not going to make the November deadline for an announcement, but we are still on track for a new superintendent in place starting January 1st, 2022.
And that's also on our website as well.
Yeah.
Thank you. We'll move on now to pool drainage pipe and the MOU, which we started that process, but go ahead, Rob.
Tim had talked about a little bit about what the issue is. This MOU basically is between the school corporation, Kettle Hut. The purpose is to give us a 10-year warranty on the repair and also to be sure, establish a date that in 5 years they come back and reinspect to make sure what the repair is still in good shape. And so we just thought it'd be good to formalize this with Kettle Hut. So we just ask your approval for this MOU.
Okay. Need a motion, please?
Second.
Moved by Mr. Schott, second by Mrs. Witt. Discussion, please. Questions? In our board packet. Any questions? Okay. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion carries. We'll move on to facilities, item 6, addendum, Purdue Swim Club, and Steve, it's for the group.
Yes, this particular resolution concerns an addendum to our normal facility use agreement. The Purdue Swim Club would like to use the Aquatic Center for their practice. The Purdue Business Office wanted to add an addendum that concerns some items such as our school corporation's communication of our COVID policies to the Purdue Swim Club. This addendum also contains a force majeure clause, and our school corporation council has vetted it, and we recommend your approval.
Okay, I need a motion, please. By Dr. Spram. Second by Mrs. Austin. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Move on back to Roll Hop for West Lafayette Community School Corporation Health Clinic. Information on that?
Yeah, this is just for information today. Many school corporations around the state, including our neighbors, TSC and LSC, provide access to a health clinic for their staff and families. The purpose of the clinic is to increase access to routine health care by providing a free option for routine visits, screenings, and some prescription drugs. A high utilization of a clinic for this routine care helps reduce the cost to the employee health plan and would help us maintain low future premium increases. So over the last several months, the business office has been in consultation with our health care consultants. We've done some research, talked with our neighbor institutions, and done some site visits. We've also talked with our non-certified employees and representatives of WLEA to get teacher input on the development of this concept for our school corporation. One option would be to partner with the existing TSC and LSC clinic that they already have in place. This clinic, there's been some shifting of their clinic situation over the last several months, including the closing of their Schuyler Avenue clinic and consolidation into one building on the south side of town near McCutcheon. This clinic is run by a proactive MD. That's one option we could join with TSC and LSC in their facility. Another option is to work with a company called Everside, which is located, their clinic is located on Kent Avenue in the Purdue Research Park area. The current users of that clinic include the West Lafayette City employees and the Teamsters. So we're in the process still of vetting all of both of these options and determining which one is the best fit, or the better fit, I should say, for our employees and for our costs. And our goal is to have an agreement with one of these two providers for your consideration at the November meeting.
Any questions?
I have a question. Steve, I just want to make sure that I understand. I know that this would be an option to our staff and their families, but some individuals really prefer to stick with their own primary care physician for regular care. Both, that would still be an option available to them, covered as the plan is normally, correct?
Correct. Nothing would change with our plan, with our existing healthcare plan. This is just an additional option that employees could take advantage of if, for example, they can't get in with their primary care physician, or it was just more convenient to them. The fact that the care at a clinic is free to the employee, there would be no co-pays involved for this routine care, and a lot of relatively common prescription drugs is what makes it an attractive option. The school corporation does incur an overhead cost, obviously, to provide that, but if the utilization of the clinic is high, then that's less utilization of our health care plan, and over time that decreases our premiums for a net savings.
That would be something I would really be interested in seeing in a proposal, is what the utilization would need to look like, where that cost to benefit is. I'd really like to see that number when you come forward with a presentation.
Yes, when we come in November with a proposal, we will show those the projected overhead costs and how long it would take to reach X amount of savings.
Okay.
And at what level of utilization.
Thank you.
When you make that presentation, will you also have the information about the provider's qualification and like the doctors and the people who provide this service? I guess whether to what degree people use it may relate to, you know, what kind of doctors they have and stuff.
Exactly. So when we come forward with a proposal, the companies, they obviously don't promise you a particular provider, but they will say what tier of provider, whether it's a physician, whether it's a nurse practitioner, and they will let you know what level of service. So that will be part of the presentation.
Thanks.
Other questions?
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate the work on that. Donations, and it's the Willis Principal's Discretionary Fund and football headsets, and I could see.
Yes, I would like to make the ask for a motion that we accept the donations as presented to the West Lafayette schools. And like I said, there was an anonymous donation in the amount of $2,500 to the principal's discretionary funds at WLIS, and a donation amount of $3,000 from the West Side Flag Incorporated was made to purchase headsets for the football team. So I would ask approval that these donations be accepted.
Okay, need a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Shaw?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Witt. Discussions or comments?
Yeah, I'd really like to express my appreciation for those donors, and they are so generous. And another thing is I like to thank you whoever wrote the minutes for last meeting. I noticed that the last donation was recorded on the minutes, which is great. I hope we can continue to do that, to, you know, record the donors' information with their permission on our minutes. Okay. Thanks.
All right, thank you. Anything else? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Personnel report, and Micah, the floor is yours.
Yes, I'd like to, first of all, ask the board to approve the personnel report as presented. in your approval of the personnel items listed in the report. But I think
right. I also want to say, Mark, this is it'll be your last board meeting, which I know is going to break your heart. But no, we also appreciate all your efforts to all that you've had to do to make this. I've gone through a great deal of transition to make this not only moving facility to facility, but to our live stream, et cetera. So thank you for all your service. Actually, it'll be October 29th. Thank you very much. And you've been, 18 years, is that right? Who's counting? But thank you very much. We appreciate everything that you've done for us for all that time period. Need a motion to approve the personnel report, which includes Mr. Boyd's as well.
So moved.
Moved by Dr. Springer. Second by Mrs. Austin.
Alan, I'm going to abstain from the vote.
Okay, all right, that's fine. Mr. Marley will abstain from the vote. And all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And abstention, the one will be Mr. Marley. And the motion carries. Thank you. Accounts payable, and Steve, we'll go to you.
We ask your approval for accounts payable in the total of $3,885,056.69, of which $939,480.83 is payroll. Payroll deductions, $435,564.66. West Lafayette School Corporation claims, $1,152,145.61. And WEVEC claims, $78,981.25. Construction projects total $1,278,884.34. A few claims of interest include the following. We paid $3,750 to Brown and Brown of Indiana. That's our healthcare consultant. There was a claim of, you may notice near the end of the claims, voucher number 4446 to Psalm 51 in the amount of $14,170. That's actually for our custodial temp service.
Right.
Their invoicer is called Psalm 51. Those are the claims of interest.
Okay, thank
you. So we ask your approval of the claims.
Okay, need a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Witt. Second by Mr. Austin. Any discussion?
I do have a question. One question.
Yes.
Steve, I'm sorry, I did not ask this in advance, and I don't expect you to have an answer right off the top of your head. But I've noticed that the refunds to parents for lunch accounts is slowing down. There for a while, there were a lot of them. Do you have a sense of, with the free lunch program that's been going on, do you have a sense of if we have a lot of students with the balance that'll need to be refunded at graduation or that type of thing, or are we pretty close to even on that?
That's a good question. I can follow up with Janelle to find out
thank you
what the balance is in that particular clearing account.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Any questions? Okay, all in favor of the motion to pay our bills, please say aye.
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 And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Information to the board. We'll move now to really to board and superintendent reports. I'll just go around the room if you have anything to add for any of your board reports. Dr. Yin, I'll start with you.
We do have a meeting.
No meetings this month? Okay, thank you. Tom?
From the Education Foundation, just a couple things. There were quite a few reunions tied into homecoming festivities, and two classes raised some sizable money. Class of 71 is raised quite a bit of money to do some beautification around the patio area by door one of the junior senior high school, some tables, landscaping. They've also working on a scholarship. As the class of 75, working on a scholarship.
And the teacher grant process has started. And like last year, there'll be two cycles of fall and a spring cycle. So obviously the fall cycle is underway.
Okay. Thank you.
Nothing to report. Okay.
Park Board and West Lafayette Wellness Center currently accepts Renew Active for older residents and is working to add Silver and Fit this fall. Wednesdays in the Wild education programs are happening this fall, and the schedule is on the Parks and Rec website. For GLASS, three phases of the GLASS decentralization process have occurred since the 2018-19 school year. It was decided that 2021-22 will be a pause year to evaluate all the changes to date. Board teacher discussion talked about virtual learning at Willis, the expiration of the COVID leave, stipends, and then they had received an introduction about the consideration of a health clinic.
Okay. Negotiations and Brad and I are on that. That's still ongoing and progressing. Brad, anything from your end? Anything else to report?
Yeah, have fun driving around West Lafayette. We're still working on Chauncey Street out front City Hall. Salisbury is well underway, so if you like getting stuck in traffic, try heading north at 5 o'clock up Salisbury.
Yeah.
And Jaeger Road will be soon behind that. So good luck going north and south.
Thank you. Amy?
I second everything
Tom
said about.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, go ahead, Rachel.
And Brad, is there, or this might be a Steve and Ross question, have the buses been handling the construction fairly well?
Well, it depends on what day it is. I know the other day I talked to Doug, or maybe it was Lefty One, on there was an issue, but they talked to the contractor and he straightened it out. There are some pretty tight corners. And so that's what we just got to be aware of that. I mean, I don't know how you get around it, but hopefully working with the contractors and the drivers be aware of it, we can get through it. So yeah, it is kind of a problem.
Okay. But for now, kids are still getting picked up at the same time and delivered right at the same time. All right.
Great. Well, more or less.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Same time. Okay. So anything else for them? Okay. Our next meeting will be Monday, November 1st at 6:30 p.m. And we are going to move back to the Happy Hollow LGI room. It's what makes it a little bit easier on them, and then also with the sufficient space, I think, to do what we need to do for that. And that will be next, it'll be Monday, November 1st, 6:30 p.m. I need a motion for adjournment, please.
Second.
And Mrs. Austin, second by Mr. Marley. All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And opposed? Hearing none, that motion carries. We do have some things to sign, but thank you all for attending. Appreciate it.